It is not a song about a guy talking to his girlfriend Gloria about his ex-girlfriend Chelsea. I've heard that before. That's not what it's about. I want to start off today by saying this is probably, this subject in this series is probably my favorite of the whole year. We've gone through a lot of things this year, but diving into who Jesus is probably my favorite. And I've learned a lot. My faith has grown. I hope yours has as well. I've been encouraged. I hope you have too. And the whole series is answering this question: who is Jesus? There's so many ways to answer that question. We're going over four of them, kind of like the four pillars, the four core ones. But in reality, we could answer this question a million different ways and not even hit all the points by the end of the century. So just for these four Sundays, we're taking four very specific attributes of Jesus and talking just a little bit more about them. We talked about Jesus, our Savior. A few weeks ago, I laid out the plan of salvation, and while I believe the congregation I faced that Sunday did not need to be saved, maybe somebody did, I don't know, but maybe you know somebody who did. And it was training so that you could share the gospel with others as well. We also talked about Jesus is our sanctifier. Sanctifier, to be made more holy, to be set apart. Jesus' work in us to make us more like Him. We learned it was about surrender and how and when we do that to open ourselves up to something wonderful. And in fact, we learned a prayer last week that when said with an earnest heart will open your spirit for change. And I never scripted it for you because I wanted you to know the spirit of the prayer. But the prayer was, Lord, do in me all that you need to do so that you can do through me all that you want to do. So this week we're answering the question, who is Jesus? Jesus is our healer. Not was, not will be. Jesus is our healer. Was and is will, or was and will be is also the answer, but Jesus is our healer. Now, over the probably, I don't know, 60 to 70 sermons I've given since I've been here, I've probably spoken on healing at least a few times. Because it's a topic of great fascination. Because it's taking something that's broken and making it better again. And we have to, and we as Christians, we ask the question, do these still happen? Do healings still happen? And I would testify, yes, they do, and I'll give some testimony to that in just a moment. But we also ask the question, if healings still do happen, why don't they always work? Why do people ask for healing? Why are people prayed over, and then they still walk away broken? We'll hopefully answer that question. And of course, another question, what kind of healings are we talking about? Physical, emotional, spiritual? I'll give you that answer, yes. But I'm going to read you a passage today from Matthew chapter 8 that talks about a healing, and we're going to dissect that a little today. Oh, I should have made that print white. Well, if you're following along in your Bible, your eyes will be better than... Wow, I should have made... Why didn't I make that white?
Whew. I can see it further than
five here. Oh. Well, if you know how to change it to white while I'm reading it. But I don't think you do. So, I'm going to read the passage. If you want to follow along, that's great. We're in Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 to 17. It says, when he had entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. And he said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion replied, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me, under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, truly, I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And to the centurion he said, go, let it be done for you as you have believed. And the servant was healed at that very moment. So we're going to answer those questions that I asked earlier. Do healings still happen? Why does it not always work? And what kind of healings are we talking about? But first, I just to get this in perspective, I'm going to share a story with you of this young lady named Shakia Britton. This name actually was mentioned in Sunday school this morning. And she, at one point in time, had about a 3 or 4 minute video describing a big event in her life. But I couldn't find the video. She does, I'm going to leave her name up here because it's a hard name to spell. She does have a 1 hour long podcast on YouTube. And I didn't watch the whole thing. But I would recommend taking a listen to it because she has a wonderful testimony and a wonderful story. But I'm going to tell you about Shakia Britton because she was born with a condition known as cerebral palsy. Cerebral palsy is due to who knows exact causes, but there's something wrong in the brain and in the body that causes the brain and body not to work properly. Some of the symptoms include exaggerated reflexes, floppy or rigid limbs, involuntary motions, and many other symptoms. There are some treatments for cerebral palsy, but it is not a curable condition. If you are born with cerebral palsy, chances are you will die with cerebral palsy. She was born with cerebral palsy. She does not have cerebral palsy anymore. She was going to college. She was at a chapel service, prayer service, and they said, does anyone need prayer? She had been prayed over many times in her life. She had always wanted to be better. She had always wanted to be healed. But for some reason or another, it didn't happen. And then this one time at a prayer service, she said, you know what? Whether I'm healed or not, it doesn't matter. But I want to glorify God. So she asked for prayer, and her cerebral palsy was gone. And it wasn't for her glory. It wasn't to show off. It was for the glory of God. And now she, to this day, works with disabled kids and people, helping them get the benefits and services that they need. But the great thing, she says, is she gets to walk to work. Instead of being in a wheelchair or walker. I think she had a walker. This is just one of many stories. I saw a testimony of one about two, three years ago of a woman who had the condition, basically her stomach wouldn't digest solid food, and it was several years. And then she had been prayed over many, many times, and she got up at a big prayer meeting. And people were like, wow, we prayed over you many times. You want to stand up again? She's like, I think I'm supposed to stand up tonight. And for the first time in 7 years, she felt something different in her stomach that was uncontrollable. She said, I felt muscles in my stomach working like they had never worked before. And she says, right after the prayer service, I went and had some General Tso's chicken. I said, that would not be my first choice to test out my new stomach. But she did, and she ate it, and she was wonderful. So healings still happened, but it's for the glory of God. So we asked the questions, why do healings not always work? Several reasons, and I'll point you to Scripture. First and foremost, Scripture says that God's ways are not always our ways. God does not work on our timetable. God does not bow at our beck and command. He does what he will do, and we follow. So questioning his will and his way will often lead you down roads that you're not going to like. And not to say that questions are bad. I love questions. God loves questions. There are no dumb questions. And I always encourage questions. But there are questions that will not benefit you and are better left unasked. If something horrible and crazy has happened to you or someone in your life, and you've asked God the question like, why them, God? Why didn't you heal them, God? Why do bad things always happen to me, God? Or any more of a variety of questions that point you back to how things are affecting you, I would ask one question. And I would try to ask it with sensitivity, because I love each and every one of you and I want healing in your life. I would ask, who would have gotten the glory? If the answer is not Jesus, then you have your answer. I have a friend of mine, he was my roommate in college for a year. And we got along really well, mostly because we got to make fun of each other's injuries. We were both in a car accident about the same time, and for several years, I couldn't open my mouth all the way. He couldn't use his left arm. He took a fence post through it. A surgery ended up fixing my jaw. His arm never got fixed, but it was a great alarm clock. Years later, he walked away from the faith. And on Facebook one time, I asked him why. He said, I worked so hard for God, and he never healed me. I did everything I was supposed to do. I served. I went to church. I did all the things. He was looking for payment. He wasn't looking for glory for God. He was just looking to work and earn his wages. This was not the way to be healed. Another quick story. There was a little girl lying dead in the hospital. This one ends up differently. Don't worry about it. She had suffered a seizure and was not breathing. The family's pastor came to the room to find the parents and the doctors were not there. The machines were being unplugged by a nurse, and the pastor asked if he could pray. The nurse replied, you know she's dead, right? But she allowed him to pray. And he prayed to restore the little girl. Nothing happened. He prayed earnestly. He said, God, please save this little girl. He left the room. The girl was still dead. He went outside, and he found the parents sharing their faith with the doctor, knowing their little girl was in the next room dead. The parents who had just lost their girl was glorifying God by sharing the gospel with the doctor who couldn't save their daughter. Shortly after they shared the gospel, they heard a scream from the hospital room and a little girl crying for her mother. God was being glorified even before the healing took place and continued after. God will be glorified. Jesus is not our healer so that we can have an easier life, though that might be a byproduct. Jesus isn't our healer so that we don't have to bury our loved ones, though that might be a byproduct. Jesus is our healer to be glorified. Jesus knew that by meeting the physical need, healing, the door would be open to speak about Jesus' greater mission, to bring salvation to souls. We see the same pattern through Jesus' ministry. Whenever Jesus made an intangible claim, he backed it up with a tangible act of compassion. In John chapter 6, Jesus said he was the bread of life. And then he fed 5,000 people with a few loaves of bread. He wants us to believe in and know him. And he will go to extraordinary means to get our attention. Jesus is our healer. He's our healer to prove he could forgive sin. How do you prove such an intangible thing? First, Jesus lived in a culture where the assumption was that sickness was a result of sin. Second, based on the assumption, healing comes with forgiveness to sin. So to prove he had the power to forgive sins, Jesus said to the man who was lowered down through the roof, "Friend, your sins are forgiven. Take your mat and go home." If Jesus had simply said, "Your sins are forgiven," he might have been laughed at, or worse, he was already being made fun of. And the man may not have even taken him seriously. But then Jesus healed him of what seemed to be an incurable condition. He heals us to prove he can forgive us. Jesus is our healer. He is our healer to prove he is God. Jesus healed to prove he is the Messiah. Only one has authority to forgive sin, God alone. A charge the Pharisees made when Jesus healed sicknesses and at the same time forgave sins. He was claiming authority to be God. Jesus is our healer. He's our healer to show his compassion. Jesus healed because he cared. There is no record of Jesus turning away anyone who came and asked for help. Jesus is our healer to show that he is the Lord of all life. Jesus is the Lord of compassion, and not just the Lord of our souls, but of our bodies as well. Jesus is our healer to show that salvation starts now. Jesus' wonderful, compassionate willingness to reach out and touch our physical needs demonstrates that it's not just future tense, but present tense. He heals in this life, in this moment, in anticipation of something much more complete as eternity rolls on. Jesus heals so more people can come to know him, so that he can be glorified. So what can I do to help healing along? In short, there's nothing you can do. Jesus is our soul healer, S-O-L-E. He is also our soul healer, S-O-U-L. The point is, he doesn't need us to heal. Four things to know about healings, and I'll try to go through these quick. Pastors don't normally look at the clock the congregation puts in the back, but I'm kind of trying to keep an eye on it today. First and foremost, healings are not from our faith. Faith is a necessary part of healing. But our faith, and scripture says her faith healed her, his faith healed him. The faith we have is not a magical device that heals us. It is Jesus who heals us. Our faith is a necessary part of it, but our faith is not what is actually doing the work. Jesus is doing the work. It's not from within. The doctoral explanation for people who don't have cerebral palsy anymore or multiple sclerosis are like, oh, we must have misdiagnosed them. Or, oh, it's just one of those random, odd disappearances of incurable diseases. That's usually what, I mean, they don't give glory to God. Well, other people do. It's not from within. It's nothing our body is doing to just magically make us better. God may use, and in extension from that, God may use you, like it's not from your hand laying on, like it's not from a faith healer. God may use you as a channel for the Holy Spirit to heal someone, but he doesn't need you. It's not a superpower you have. So if you see someone claiming to be a faith healer, and they give themselves the glory and the credit for healing you, it's probably a sham. But if you see someone glorifying God and being used by God to heal, that's a different story. And we are not healed by mystical objects. And that's interesting because there's a lot of things that happened in Scripture thanks to touching objects. In Luke chapter 8, we have a woman who had been bleeding for many years, and she came and touched Jesus' robe. Now, Jesus' robe did not have magical properties in it, but she believed that if I only touch him, I will be healed. That was her faith working in action. But who healed her? Jesus healed her. He even said in the midst of this passage that he felt power leaving him. Jesus healed her, not his clothing. But we even have in Acts chapter 19, it says here, and God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul. God was doing the miracles. Keep that in mind. So that even the handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and evil spirits came out of them. Now, it wasn't that these handkerchiefs and aprons had become magical items. People believe that, hey, God is working through Paul. If I just touch something that Paul has touched, then I have faith that God will heal me. It wasn't a magical object. There weren't healing properties in the object. The healing properties are in Christ alone. They were objects of faith. Power was allowed through these objects, not imbued in these objects. The woman's faith was the conduit of her healing. But Jesus healed her. Paul's handkerchief was an important instrument of faith, but it didn't heal the person. Jesus healed the person. We have the story today of the Roman centurion, a non-Jew seeking an audience with Jesus to heal a servant. This man had a great deal of faith. He was putting his job on the line. He was saying the Roman doctors, even the other doctors, could do nothing. But he said, I believe you, Jesus, can do something. You have the power to save my servant. And this Roman centurion, this guy who was trained to believe the Jewish people were dogs to be stepped over, said, I'm not worthy to have you in my home. You're better than me, he was acknowledging. He had the faith that only Jesus could save his servant. And the man was praised for his belief, and Jesus was glorified when the servant was healed. Shortly after this, Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law, who promptly got up and glorified Jesus by serving him. And to really drive everything home, Jesus has healed all who follow him. He has taken up our illness and bore our diseases. We could have them back if we really want them. But he has taken them. He has paid for them. Whatever you have, you might have a bad shoulder. Maybe you have sleep apnea, arthritis in your neck. You might have children who have incurable diseases. Or you might have an incurable disease yourself. And tomorrow they might be gone forever. Or they won't. But as a believer, we have this promise. When we join him in eternity, we will have a fully healed and wonderful glorified body. Completely healed. And that is his promise to us. And that healing, that spiritual healing has taken place. We are perfect in God's sight because of what Jesus did for us. We are covered in Christ's blood. So therefore, he sees us as perfect. Our body might still be broken, but our spirit is whole. So I don't know how clear I've made this, but we are healed emotionally, physically, spiritually, according to God's will, and we are to glorify God. Normally I have us sing this song at the end, and we will today. I'll leave it running as my family makes our graceful exit to the caroling. But what I'm going to ask for today, and we usually stand and sing this song, and if you want to stand and sing this song, great. But if you need, for any reason whatsoever, a healing prayer, someone to sit next to you, I'm going to ask, if you're standing up and you see someone sitting, go sit next to them. You don't have to ask them what's wrong. You don't need detailed explanation. Just while the song is playing, sit with them, hold their hand, put your hand on their shoulder, and say a prayer for them. Whatever it may be. So that's your mission and your homework today as we make our way out for caroling. So I'm going to start the song. So let us stand, sing together. And if you just need a healing prayer tonight, stay seated.
Jesus, you're living, ruling me. maybe see that, He is our Savior. He is our healer in our life. I was thinking of passage from Isaiah that, as Pastor was sharing, even that prophecy shares, surely He has took up our pain and bore our suffering, and yet we considered Him punished by God, stricken by Him and afflicted. But He was pierced for our transgressions, He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him, and by His wounds we are healed. I was thinking of how Jesus does that for us, and that blessings that we have in Him. In our New Testament read, we're into an interesting time. We're finishing the Old Testament, or New Testament, and it's all pointing to Jesus' coming. And as we were doing the Nativity, I was thinking of how people were remembering back of Jesus' first coming, but we're in that moment in history that we're anticipating His second coming and the healing that He's going to provide for His people. Shall we pray? Father God, we thank You tonight for Your word to us. We were looking at who Jesus is, and we value the relationship that we see in Him as our Savior, as our Redeemer, as our friend. And Lord, tonight, as it was Your word was opened up to us that Jesus is our healer, we recognize that, Lord, He healed us from this sickness and of sin, Lord. And from that, Lord, we give You praise that the consequences of sin is death and separation from You. But Lord, He in His healing of us, Lord, He brought us into a new area, Lord, of Your kingdom, Lord, the kingdom of life in You. And Lord, we thank You for that. And as we think of those words that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that He has come to give us life more abundantly, and we pause, Lord, to give You glory for that tonight as we think of that work that You've accomplished in our life, those things that You've brought to us that reflect Your power and Your glory, those things that only You could have done for us. We thank You for the work of the cross tonight as we think of the fullness of Your work there. Lord, as we move on from the busyness of the living nativity, Lord, we thank You that in the coming weeks we can reflect on the birth of Jesus and that and understand the gifts of faith and hope and love and trusting in You, Lord, and for that joy that You grant to us. Lord, we do ask tonight that You would be with those who are ill, that You would bring healing into their life, Lord, that You would work in a special way, whether it's the physical or mental or emotional or the spiritual, Lord. We would ask that You would touch them, Lord, and make them whole. Lord, we thank You for the aspect of missionaries who are working in serving You in areas around the world. We think of Pastor Doug and Emma and Mauritius, Lord. We think of those whom we've have heard from recently in the past few years, and we would ask that You would be with them as they serve You, as they testify to You and Your power. Lord, we pray for those who are traveling, who are out and about, Lord, that you would give them travel mercies and blessings, Lord. We thank you for our church family as we have shared in worship tonight, and we would ask your blessing upon us as we fellowship in a few moments as we share together, as we pray for one another, and as we're together tonight. So we just give you praise, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Songs, and one's gonna get that up there. So you can stand. From the beginning, Jesus came to be our healer. The third verse says, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. He's come to be our healer, and you've heard about tonight. Children. That's what this song is about.